You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Over the weekend, the US, UK and France launched an airstrike in Syria in response to a suspected chemical attack in the town of Douma. It is arguably the most significant attack against President Bashar al-Assad's government in 7 years. The strike has received a backlash of criticism from Russia, who have questioned the legal legitimacy of the attack. I spoke to intelligence and defense policy analyst Paul Buchanan to find out more.
Well, the immediate reason, the vulgar reason, if you will, is that the West had to be seen as doing something about this gross infringement of the Chemical Weapons Convention, because to not do something would make the U.S. and its allies appear even weaker than they are in the Syrian conflict. And so that's, if you will, the politically expedient or crude reason for it. But the more important reason is about international norm enforcement. And we have international norms against the use of weapons of mass destruction, including all chemical weapons. And if countries don't unilaterally, bilaterally, or in small groups enforce those norms, that will encourage others to continue to violate them. And Assad has a track record of doing exactly that. So one is a virtuous position, try to enforce norms. The other one is politically expedient. But those were the two main reasons for this strike, which, again, much like the strike last year, is largely symbolic. This may delay Syrian chemical weapons production, and we have to be very clear here. The cover facility for the chemical weapons storage sites were in fact legitimate pharmaceutical factories. Places that make aspirin and other common medicines were used by the Syrian regime, as has happened in other places in the past, to cover their illicit activities. So in striking these targets, they've also wiped out legitimate medical production facilities. And so Syria will now be able to use that, and the Russians will be able to use that to show that the United States, the UK, and France have in fact attacked targets that were mostly for civilian purposes. In fact, they say it's entirely for civilian purposes. And to be honest, no amount of explanation from the Western powers will overcome that narrative in some quarters of the world.
I mean, you say norm enforcing, but if there are chemical weapons, they've been denied that there were chemical, there was the use of chemical weapons. Syria's denied that. But if there were, I mean, chemical weapons are horrible. It's vile. Do you not disagree, even if it's norm enforcing, that they should be protecting civilians against chemical weapons?
Well, it's too late for that. I mean, there's an interesting irony here that goes back to the Obama administration, and that the U.S. in particular keeps on drawing red lines in the sand about the Assad regime's behavior, and then the Assad regime steps over it. Now, last year, the Trump administration bombed an airfield in response to a chemical weapons attack, and that simply was a matter of being seen to be doing something, but it had no practical effect whatsoever on the Syrian regime's war-fighting capability, and it certainly didn't protect the civilians affected. The same has occurred now, and it'll be interesting to see what the follow-up is. Certainly the West has no appetite for deepening its commitment to the fight in Syria, but there will be further sanctions imposed upon, among others, Russian companies that have sold the precursor chemicals to the Assad regime, and we'll see if this has any discernible effect. But one of the problems, if you're not on the ground amongst the people who are being targeted by these chemical weapons, is you can do nothing to prevent them. And because the West has very few troops in this part of Syria, they weren't in the immediate vicinity. They had to rely on the word of the so-called White Helmet humanitarian assistance people to get word that this attack had in fact occurred. And I tend to believe that they did confirm that it was the Syrians. Whether or not the Russians knew in advance that the Syrians were going to launch such attack is a matter of conjecture, but nevertheless, certainly in Paris, London, and Washington, D.C., the conclusion was, no, Assad did in fact order this, and he needs to pay. But the cost to Assad has been minimal, even with the destruction of these facilities, so it'll be in the follow-up to this, into the future sequels, where we will see whether or not this will mitigate his behavior, and I quite frankly frankly, am not confident that anything will change. I should point out, too, that the chain of command in the Syrian military does not necessarily reflect Assad's personal views. Now, this attack could have been ordered by a lower-level military commander in order to, for political reasons internal to the regime, to put Assad in a corner for whatever reason. So, although there's been a lot of conjecture about this being a false narrative or a false flag operation on the part of the West, the more interesting thing is twofold. First of all, why did the Syrians decide to go ahead with this, and was Assad notified of this in advance, or was he told after the fact, and why the Russians did not defend Assad from the subsequent strikes? And that's actually one good note in all of this, is that the Russians have formidable anti-aircraft and anti-missile batteries in Syria. They chose not to use them when the strikes occurred, and so that's a subtle signal by the Russians to Assad that they will fight alongside him on many fronts, but they will not come to his defense if he chooses to engage in this sort of egregious behavior, and that's about the only positive that I can get out of this.
Well, Russia did attempt to block the US-led strike with the UN Security Council, but failed. Since then, they've called it a blatant disregard for international law. There is currently not any concrete evidence of chemical weapons having been used, but there is clear documented evidence of the strike from the Western side. How do you think this will legally play out if the report comes back stating there was no use of chemical weapons?
Well, first of all, I have to disagree with you there. There's plenty of evidence that chemical weapons were used. It's video evidence. You know, the West cannot get people to sample, do soil samples and that like, but you can certainly see from the faces of the victims, you can certainly see from the testimony of the volunteers and the doctors who treated them, that they were subject to a chemical attack. Mm-hmm. And this idea that there's some sort of equivalence between the strikes and the use of chemical weapons is absurd on the face of it. Now, let's also be clear that the reason there is very weak international norms enforcement that cannot prevent civilians from being targeted in this way is because of the structure of the United Nations. As so long as you have veto powers that are held by the five major players, there will always be vetoes used when their interests are contravened, and that's exactly the case here. Not only were the Russians able to veto a resolution authorizing the strikes, but more importantly, they can veto any subsequent resolutions regarding chemical weapons or anything else. So it's very rich for the Russians to start talking about people disregarding international norms when their behavior, not only in Syria but elsewhere, has been less than proper in many instances. And that's not to absolve the West of whatever sins it may commit on the battlefields of the Middle East and elsewhere, but certainly the Russians squawking about the sanctity of civilian life, you know, quite frankly, is farcical. So the structure of the international system is the root cause for the lack of international norm enforcement. And because the international community, as represented by the UN, will not be able to reach a consensus authorizing strikes and retaliation for violations of international norms, such as the Chemical Weapons Convention, then it's left to individual states and small coalitions of states to try to enforce those norms. And here, I guess the only good point in the strike against the Assad regime is that the UK and France join the United States in these strikes, because otherwise it would be yet again another U.S. unilateral strike for reasons that may be honest or may be not. But having two allies in this put some sort of diplomatic cover on it, particularly the French position, is essential here. That France would go with the United States on this particular issue gives a measure of legitimacy to the strikes that otherwise it might not have. And again, this is only done because the UN is incapable under its current structure of authorizing the multilateral use of force because of the veto power of the actors in the Security Council.
So do you think this could further antagonize the already fragile relationship between the US and Russia?
It's already really poor, I must say, and I see it here a lot in New Zealand. There are a number of people who believe that this is going to lead to an escalation that eventually leads to nuclear war. I can pretty much guarantee, based on my experience back in Washington, that this will not lead to nuclear war, that although Syria is important to the Russians, it is not so important so as to risk a strike on its homeland. Syria is definitely not important to the United States, other for regional geopolitical balancing. And so this is not going to escalate into nuclear war, even though pacifists are fearful of that possibility. But it could deepen the crisis, because it's very clear that there's a crisis in U.S.-Russian relations, that the U.S. is on the decline as an empire, and Russia is resurgent in the current moment. And certainly the leadership in Washington doesn't give us any confidence that cool heads will prevail should this confrontation move from its Cold War origins into something, a lot hotter, a lot warmer. And by that, what I simply mean is things can be thorny and get much more difficult if Russian and American, UK, or other Western troops encounter each other on the field of battle, because they're on opposite sides. And when they come together, it will be in a hostile way. Once Russians start killing Westerners directly, no matter where that is in the world, then yes, you have the possibility of a larger conflict, but it will not escalate to nuclear weapons, because then you put existential interests at threat. And again, Syria doesn't matter that much for either of the big players outside of the region.
Why should New Zealanders care so much about this?
Because your children will curse you if you don't.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.